Welcome to Brighty on Broadcast News with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
All right, folks, Mike Adams here. Welcome to Brighty on Broadcast News for Monday, April 14th, 2025. And I really wanted to bring you a song today about Trump and the tariffs. And, you know, the title of today's broadcast here is Trump Breaks the World. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And also, the interview I have coming up for you today is with John Perez, the precious metals expert that we've been interviewing on and off for several years. So we've got a great interview for you. But first, let me play the song. I created a song, of course, using AI, Suno in this case. And I put together this song in a kind of a funk style, actually like a pop funk rhythm and blues. No, more like pop funk organ hipster style. There we go. And it's called Trump the Tariff Sheriff. So give it a listen and enjoy. And we'll continue on the other side.
Yeah, he hiked him and spiked him and raised the walls to spite him. If you extend your hands, he's gonna cut him off and bite him. He's hungry for a pound of flesh, even if there's nothing left. Making everybody pay and call and collect.
There's nothing you can do. Don't even try to stop it. Even if you're crazy, my orange man can top it. Trump the tariff sheriff. He's a coming to town. Trump the tariff sheriff. Gonna burn it all down. Economic earthquakes, existential high stakes. Trump the tariff sheriff isn't messing around.
Taiwan and Korea, sure was nice to see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya since you're paying such a fee, yeah. Singapore and China, they've fallen far behind ya. With economic warfare, we gonna decline ya. Decoupling from Asia, commie China plays ya. Triple down tariffs, they don't even faze ya.
There's nothing you can do, don't even try to stop it. Even if you're crazy, my orange man can top it. Trump the tariff sheriff. Into town, Trump the tariff sheriff, gonna burn it all down. Economic earthquakes, existential high stakes. Trump the tariff sheriff isn't messing around.
If you wanna ship it to us, you gotta get through this. Trump's gonna make you pay through the nose, you clueless. You're dumping situation, currency manipulation. Even if you nuke us, you can't stop this nation. We ain't even started yet, don't you forget. Cause our secret weapon is infinite debt. There's nothing you can do, don't even try to stop it. Even if you're crazy, my orange man can top it.
Trump the tariff sheriff, he's coming to town. Trump the tariff sheriff, gonna burn it all down. Economic earthquakes, existential high stakes. Trump the tariff sheriff isn't messing around. Trump the tariff sheriff.
So there you go, the new song, Trump the Tariff Sheriff. Now, of course, the song is written tongue-in-cheek, because it's a song that's sort of celebrating Trump being this badass, you know, like he's gonna kick everybody's butt. He's going to get his way, and there's nothing you can do. Don't even try to stop it. Even if you're crazy, my orange man can top it, right? That's one of the pre-chorus verses in the song, and hope you enjoyed some of the lines. Taiwan and Korea, sure was nice to see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya since you paying such a fee, yeah. I was just having fun with the song, but there's a very serious point in all of this, which gets me to the title today, Trump Breaks the World. Trump's tariffs have broken things, like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, could they? Why? Because some things, after you break them, you can't glue them back together. And that's really that that old rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, refers to the British Empire and how they broke things. They broke alliances with war or economic policies that just broke everything. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. In other words, it doesn't matter how many people you have, doesn't matter how much labor, doesn't matter how much effort, or even how much money you can print. None of it matters. You can't put it back together. Now, what is it that broke? What is Humpty Dumpty in today's world from the point of view of the United States? It's dollar hegemony. So you could call them like Humpty Dollar sat on a wall. Humpty Dollar had a great fall, right? The dollar has been shattered, or faith in the dollar has been shattered. And it's very clear to me that this is the second of two critical events that have now convinced the entire world to basically decouple from the United States economy and to decouple from the U.S. dollar. This is an earthquake. That's why in the song I said economic earthquakes, existential high stakes. That's what this is. So what are those two events? Well, the first one was in 2022 when the United States ordered the SWIFT system to cut off Russia, and then the European banks seized $300 billion of Russian assets where Russia-owned foreign currencies kept in central banks in Western Europe. So Europe just stole that money, just pirated it. Said, hey, it's ours now, you know. Good luck. It's our money now. We're going to use it to fund the war against you. So that was point number one. That sent a message to the entire world. Don't hold Western currencies and don't store money in Western banks, period. If you're any country in the world, you know, India, right? Brazil, Iran, Turkey, whatever, you got the lesson. Don't hold Western currencies and don't put money in Western banks because they could take it from you. And then the second event was Trump's, what do you call it, Liberation Day? Was that April 2nd? Seems like, has it already been 2 weeks? That's amazing. I think that was April 2nd when Trump announced these really sharp tariffs, right? And remember, at first, I supported the idea of these tariffs because I thought that the Trump administration was honestly telling us the tariffs that other countries were charging on U.S. goods. When Trump held up that big chart and he said, China's charging us 67%, and we're going to reciprocate and charge them only half of that, 34%. When Trump did that, I thought that sounded fair because I believed what he was saying, which is silly, obviously, you know, shame on me, right? Turns out he was lying. China isn't charging 67%. And all these other countries are not charging the tariffs that Trump said they were charging from Taiwan and Korea and Vietnam and what have you, right? They weren't charging those tariffs. They were charging much, much lower tariffs. But remember, as I explained, Trump, his team calculated trade imbalances, and then they called them tariffs, which is just totally dishonest. It's very deceitful. It's just a lie. And you know why we have trade imbalances with those countries? You know why? Because Americans buy more stuff. They buy more stuff than what they make. See, Americans don't want to work in factories, but they do want to buy stuff made in factories. And that's the American way. Give us money, give us welfare money, give us stimulus money, give us USAID money, give us COVID stimulus checks, whatever. And occasionally people actually earn money. That happens too. And then they run out and buy a bunch of stuff. Stuff made by countries like China and Taiwan and Japan and Korea and not just Asia, but all over the world, obviously. So the trade imbalance comes down to Americans just buying more stuff. Somehow, Trump wants to punish China for the fact that Americans buy more stuff than Chinese people. Now, Chinese people, they do buy some stuff. They buy a lot of stuff from their own country, but they don't buy as much stuff as Americans. America is the leader in world consumerism and debt. nobody consumes as much stuff, or as they say in Africa, cargo. You know, Americans have more cargo than anybody else, and Americans have more debt. But it's easy to do it when you can just print currency, because the world trusts your dollar as the reserve currency, dollar hegemony, right? Well, that's what just broke. Humpty Dumpty, Humpty Dollar, sat on the wall, Humpty Dollar had a great fall. Shattered. So the future now is going to be extremely painful for the American people. Extremely painful. You're going to see widespread poverty in America as the nations around the world, and this is happening right now. I watched videos over the weekend, like the Prime Minister of Singapore gave a really eloquent speech, really like a 25-minute speech, laying out with great rationality what Trump has done and why it's breaking the world's economic system, and how Asian nations like Singapore and Malaysia and, you know, South Korea, Vietnam, etc., and China, they are working together amongst themselves. And there's a group called the ASEAN nations, which includes, you know, many of those Southeast Asian nations, not officially China, but China's working with that group. These nations are going to trade amongst each other. They're going to use each other's currencies, and they're going to trade directly with each other, and they're going to emphasize importing and exporting with each other on more of a free trade basis, while they are all decoupling from the United States. So the U.S. is basically going to be embargoed by the entire world, other than, let's say, the U.K., or other strong U.S. allies like Australia. You know, Five Eyes nations basically will still trade with the U.S. Taiwan will still trade with the U.S. But aside from those key partnership nations, every other nation around the world is working right now to divorce itself from the United States of America and to divorce itself from the U.S. dollar. Trump did not anticipate this. Trump thought the entire world was going to cave and surrender immediately. Now, many countries did. Most countries did. But China did not. And this is no doubt driving Trump bonkers right now, that China did not cave. Because if he can't get China to cave, then, you know, the rest of the countries of the world, they know they could just trade with China. China's kind of the anchor of the alternative to America and the alternative to the dollar. China's got a lot of gold too, by the way. Oh, that reminds me, let me mention, I really wanted to make sure I say this today. And it's hard for me to emphasize this enough because I don't want to sound like I'm your investment advisor, because I'm not. And I can't make promises about gold and silver pricing, etc. And I suspect gold will drop today just because the U.S. government will manipulate it. But here's what I want to say, just with the disclaimer that I'm not your financial advisor, do your own research, etc. I believe that if you don't own gold or silver, I'm talking about precious metals, if you don't own some substantial amount of gold and silver, you are going to be financially wiped out. If your holdings are in fiat currency instruments, which includes treasuries or the stock market or dollars or, you know, CDs in a bank, whatever, or you're getting a pension check in dollars, you get dollars under the mattress. I don't know. I'm not trying to impart fear. I'm just saying you're going to be wiped out. The dollars are going to zero. And wouldn't you know it, Mark Faber did an interview over the weekend, and he said the same thing. He said the fiat currencies are going to zero. And the only thing, I'm paraphrasing, but the only thing that's going to matter is precious metals. Everybody is fleeing from fiat and moving into money. Now remember, dollars are not money. Euros are not money. Yen isn't money. Even the yuan isn't money. Gold is money. Silver is money. For a number of reasons I've talked about numerous times. But the only people that will financially survive what Trump has set into motion, you know, Trump breaks the world and he's plunging America into poverty. The only way to not be impoverished and to not have everything wiped out is to own physical gold and silver, not the ETFs, not the paper, but physical gold and silver. Now, you can store it in a vault, obviously. Just make sure it's allocated to you, that you have your supply of gold and silver. I urge you to look at gold and silver right now as the, what would you call it, the lifeboat of asset protection. And as you know, I've been an advocate of gold and silver for a long time, you know, really as long as I've been doing this. I started buying gold in the 1990s. I was paying $300 an ounce, I think, so that's gone up 10 times. Wow. And even just a couple years ago, 3 years ago, in 2022, I was urging everybody to look at gold. And at that time, gold was under $2,000 an ounce. So it's gone up over 50% since then, just in 3 years. I believe that, well, look, let me say it this way. I have no doubt that the dollar is going to zero. 100% guaranteed. The dollar is going to zero. I just don't know when. As the dollar goes towards zero, gold will skyrocket in dollars, obviously. So yes, gold will hit 5,000 an ounce. Gold will hit 10,000 an ounce. Dollars, you know, gold will hit $20,000 an ounce, etc. At some point, gold will be $100,000 an ounce. That's an easy prediction at this point because the dollars will collapse to zero. And along the way, it's going to take more and more dollars to buy every ounce of gold. But the people who want to have actual wealth, actual assets that survives this, are the people who hold gold and silver. So yes, I'm going to plug our trusted sponsor in this space, the Treasure Island Company, because I know I can trust them. They're professionals, multi-generational family operation. Go to metalswithmike.com and find out how they can help you get physical gold and silver at really incredible prices with guaranteed insured delivery, you know, highly professional staff, no bait and switch, no fast-talking used car salesman, nothing like that. Just professional, helpful people who can help you get squared away with gold and silver. Now, I can't guarantee that this is the lowest price of gold that it's ever going to be. It's going to bounce around. I don't know. The smart people just dollar cost average into gold and silver. Really, what smart people do is they'll just dedicate like 5 or 10% of their monthly income and they'll just buy metals every month. Month after month, year after year, they don't care what the price is. They're just trading fiat for metals. If you do a big chunk all at once, then yeah, you might buy a load of metals and the price might actually go down a little bit in the short run. But in the long term, I have no doubt that dollars are going to zero, like I said, which means metals are the preservation vehicle for asset preservation. It's become incredibly clear. So again, metalswithmike.com is our sponsor. You can talk to them and you can get yourself squared away on metals. Now, a lot of people, most people don't know that dollars are not money, but gold is money. And most people are not familiar with the concept of counterparty risk. They don't know that gold has no counterparty risk. But bank accounts do. Treasuries do. Obviously, if you own treasuries, the risk is that the government defaults on the treasuries, which is probably coming. Or if you have money in a bank, the risk is that the bank goes bankrupt. Well, if you have gold, there's no counterparty risk. Like, nobody else has to keep their word for you to have your gold because you have it. You have self-custody, and gold is on the table of elements. So gold has zero counterparty risk. Gold cannot just drop to zero. Gold can't just disappear because it's a physical element on the table of elements. And there are just silly people out there saying, well, what happens if they discover a giant asteroid made of gold? And then they just bring it to Earth. Yeah. Okay, it's just stupid. I mean, number one, if you were to mine asteroids for minerals, do you realize how expensive those minerals would be? It would be more expensive than mining gold on Earth. It'd be the most expensive gold in the world. And then secondly, what we find in space or in the crust of Earth is gold is very highly dispersed. It's very difficult to find it. Did you know you have to move tons of Earth to get even a fraction of an ounce of gold? Did you know that? Even in a gold mine, You're moving tons of earth. Giant shovels of rocks going through conveyor belts by the ton to get little tiny flecks of gold. Same thing's going to be true on rocks in space. What are you going to do? Send a bunch of mining machines onto a space rock with astronauts, with oxygen tanks? You realize how expensive that gold would be? So that's a stupid explanation of people who don't know what they're talking about. Oh, what happens if an asteroid made of gold? Yeah, well, what happens if I have a goose that lays golden eggs all day? Yeah, sure. We can talk fiction all day, but we're trying to deal with reality. In reality, nobody could create a mountain of gold. Nobody can just find a mountain of gold in space. Nobody can transmute lead into gold. Nobody can synthesize gold. That's why gold has value, built-in scarcity. I mean, it's one of the reasons. But look, the bottom line is, those people who don't have gold and silver, I'm sorry to keep kind of repeating the point here, but those people who don't have it are going to lose everything. They're going to lose the dollars, the value of the dollars. Trump's going to print, okay? There's no question Trump is going to print. People are going to lose the value in their pensions. People are going to lose the value in their bank accounts. I'm telling you, gold is the answer to all of this. And Peter Schiff is right. And in fact, I want to play a brightlearn.ai book review video of a book by Peter Schiff and John Downs called Crash Proof 2.0, How to Profit from the Economic Collapse. And by the way, if you want to know the short answer to this, it's buy gold. You can read the whole book and the answer is buy gold. But if you want to know why that's the answer, then you need to read the book. But we have a 6-minute video that reviews the book with commentary about the book and helps to promote and publicize the book. So watch this video, and you can find all these videos at brightlearn.ai. They're all free to view, but check out this video, Crash Proof 2.0.
Hey there. Today, we're going to explore a book that has been making waves since its first edition back in 2007. That's right. We're talking about Crash Proof 2.0, How to Profit from the Economic Collapse, by Peter Schiff and John Downs. This book is not just a financial guide. It's a wake-up call, a prophecy, and a roadmap all rolled into one. So, buckle up, because we're about to take a thrilling ride through the economic landscape as seen through the eyes of one of the most controversial and, dare I say, clairvoyant analysts of our time. Now, if you're familiar with Peter Schiff, you know he's not one to mince words. He famously predicted the 2008 financial crisis when many others were still caught up in the euphoria of the housing boom. In Crash Proof, he laid out a chillingly accurate forecast of the economic unraveling that was to come. But here's the kicker. He didn't just predict the housing collapse. No, he went much further, warning us about the catastrophic consequences of the federal government's misguided attempts to stimulate the economy. In the first edition, Schiff predicted a 30 to 50% decline in national real estate prices, which would, in turn, trigger a wave of foreclosures, a collapse of the mortgage market, and the demise of major financial institutions. He even foresaw the nationalization of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And guess what? It all happened. But Schiff wasn't done. He also warned that the government's response, printing money, spending recklessly, and borrowing heavily, would destroy the dollar, causing consumer prices and interest rates to spike. Now you might be thinking, okay, he got the housing part right, but what about the rest? Well, that's where Crash Proof 2.0 comes in. Published in 2009, this edition builds on the original, adding updated commentary that reflects the evolving economic landscape. Schiff argues that the so-called recovery was nothing more than an illusion. He predicted further easing, more debt, and no end to the dollar's debasement and economic stagnation. And boy, was he onto something. By 2009, the Federal Reserve had slashed interest rates to near zero, and the government was throwing billions of dollars at the economy in the form of stimulus packages. but Schiff saw through the smoke and mirrors. He warned that these actions would only postpone the inevitable, and in fact, make the eventual collapse even more severe. Now let's talk about the man behind the predictions. Peter Schiff is not your average economist. He's been labeled Dr. Doom by CNBC, and he's often the subject of friendly ridicule for his bearish outlook. But Schiff wears this moniker like a badge of honor. He believes his arguments are valid and that history will prove him right. And if you look at the events of the past decade, it's hard to argue with him. Schiff's predictions are rooted in a deep understanding of economic fundamentals. He believes that the U.S. economy is fundamentally broken, and he's not afraid to say it. He criticizes the shift from a manufacturing-based economy to a service-based one, arguing that this transition has left us dependent on foreign goods and vulnerable to economic shocks. He points out that our trade deficits are not a sign of strength, but rather a symptom of a deeper malaise. But Schiff doesn't just point out problems. He offers solutions. In Crash Proof 2.0, he provides a comprehensive financial plan to help readers weather the coming economic storm. He advises investors to move away from dollar-denominated assets and into foreign stocks, gold, and other commodities. He argues that these investments will not only preserve wealth, but also offer the potential for significant gains as the dollar weakens. Schiff's advice is particularly relevant today, with the U.S. government running massive deficits and the Federal Reserve continuing its easy money policies. The stage is set for another economic crisis. Schiff believes that the next collapse will be even more severe than the last, with hyperinflation and a collapse of the dollar being distinct possibilities. Now, I know what you're thinking. This all sounds pretty bleak. Is there any hope? Well, Schiff does offer a glimmer of hope. He believes that the economic collapse will ultimately force a return to sound economic principles. He envisions a future where Americans embrace saving and production over borrowing and consumption. He sees a potential for a new era of prosperity, but only if we learn from our mistakes and make the necessary changes. So, what can you do to protect yourself? Schiff recommends diversifying your portfolio with foreign investments and precious metals. He advises against relying on traditional financial instruments like stocks and bonds, which he believes are overvalued and vulnerable to a dollar collapse. He also suggests keeping some liquidity on hand to take advantage of buying opportunities when the market crashes. In conclusion, Crash Proof 2.0 is a must-read for anyone who wants to understand the true state of the U.S. economy and protect their wealth in these uncertain times. It's a book that challenges conventional wisdom and offers a sobering yet compelling vision of the future. So, if you're ready to take control of your financial destiny, I highly recommend giving it a read. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Bright Learn. I hope you found it enlightening and thought-provoking. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. And remember, knowledge is power, especially in today's turbulent economic climate. Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.
Visit brightlearn.ai for more fascinating videos like this one, and naturalnews.com for full editorial coverage and breaking news on critical stories that keep you informed and aware of what's really going on.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that Bright Learn book video. Now, I've got another one for you here by Jim Cobb. And it's called The Prepper's Financial Guide, Strategies to Invest, Stockpile, and Build Security for Today and the Post-Collapse Marketplace. Again, by Jim Cobb. I just want to say, my commentary on this book review video is that Cobb's a great author. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing Cobb. I'm just saying that I think that in this book, he has too much faith that the financial system will remain functional. So he talks about some tactics of financial preparedness that would include, you know, bank accounts and maybe treasuries and things like that. I think all that is going to collapse. So that part of his investment advice, I would not follow. I would get metals, physical metals, gold and silver in your hands. That's what I would do. But a lot of the other things that he mentions are really, really valuable. about barter and acquiring skills and so on, and stockpiling items for barter, which could include silver, but it could also include a lot of other things like ammo, for example. So check out this second book review video from brightlearn.ai. Again, it's called The Prepper's Financial Guide by Jim Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we're exploring a topic that's equal parts intriguing and essential: financial preparedness for uncertain times. We're diving into the pages of Jim Cobb's book, Prepper's Financial Guide: Strategies to Invest, Stockpile, and Build Security for Today and the Post-Collapse Marketplace. Now, before we jump into the strategies, let's understand what we're preparing for. Cobb paints a vivid picture of economic collapse, distinguishing it from other disasters. Unlike earthquakes or volcanic eruptions, an economic collapse doesn't happen overnight. It's more like a frog in a pot of water slowly coming to a boil. The signs are there, but they creep up on us gradually. Think about the hyperinflation in Germany after World War I. The Treaty of Versailles imposed heavy reparations, leading to a devaluation of the German mark. Prices skyrocketed, and people ended up carrying wheelbarrows of cash just to buy a loaf of bread. It's a stark reminder of how quickly things can spiral out of control. And it's not just a distant historical event. The Great Depression, the collapse of the Argentinian economy in the late 1990s, and the Great Recession of 2008 all serve as cautionary tales. Each had its own unique triggers, but they all shared a common thread: a loss of faith in the financial system and a breakdown in the normal flow of goods and services. So, how do we prepare for such uncertainty? Cobb emphasizes that financial preparedness starts with getting your financial house in order. And the first step? Tackling debt. Think of it like losing weight. There are no quick fixes, just the simple principle of spending less than you earn. Cobb suggests creating a detailed budget, tracking every single expense, and identifying areas where you can cut back. He even recommends keeping a log of every purchase for a month to see where your money is really going. You might be surprised at how those small, seemingly insignificant purchases add up. Cobb also offers practical tips for reducing debt, like negotiating lower interest rates on credit cards and prioritizing paying off the card with the lowest balance first. He advises keeping one credit card for emergencies, but otherwise, cutting up the rest to avoid temptation. Once you've got a handle on your debt, it's time to focus on saving. Cobb emphasizes the importance of building an emergency fund, ideally enough to cover 6 months of living expenses. He also suggests setting aside money for specific goals, like home repairs or medical expenses. But saving isn't just about stashing cash under the mattress. Cobb encourages readers to explore different savings vehicles, like high-yield savings accounts or certificates of deposit, to make their money work harder for them. And when it comes to budgeting, Cobb advocates for a mindset shift. Instead of viewing it as a restrictive tool, he sees it as a way to take control of your financial future. He suggests prioritizing needs over wants and finding creative ways to save, like cooking at home instead of dining out or using public transportation instead of driving. Now, let's talk about investing, but not in the traditional sense. Cobb encourages readers to invest in self-sufficiency. This means acquiring skills and resources that will help you thrive in a post-collapse world. Think about growing your own food. Cobb suggests starting small, with a few pots of herbs or a small vegetable garden. As you gain confidence, you can expand to larger plots or even consider raising chickens or rabbits for eggs and meat. He also emphasizes the importance of learning skills like canning, dehydrating, and preserving food. These skills will not only help you save money, but also ensure you have a steady supply of food, even when grocery stores are no longer an option. And let's not forget about energy. Cobb recommends exploring alternative energy sources, like solar panels or small wind turbines, to reduce your reliance on the grid. He also suggests investing in a generator and learning how to maintain it. In a post-collapse world, cash may lose its value, so Cobb advises stockpiling items that can be used for bartering. He groups these items into categories like vices, tobacco, alcohol, coffee, medical supplies, tools, and hygiene products. But Cobb also emphasizes the importance of choosing items that have inherent value to you and are shelf-stable. He suggests starting small, stockpiling a little at a time, and focusing on items that are relatively inexpensive now. And when it comes to bartering, Cobb advises being fair and reasonable. He suggests thinking of barter as a way to build relationships and foster a sense of community rather than just a transaction. Finally, Cobb highlights the importance of acquiring skills that will be valuable in a post-collapse world. He mentions medical skills, animal husbandry, soap making, clothing repair, and even entertainment as potential areas to explore. He also suggests thinking outside the box and considering skills like blacksmithing, hunting, fishing, and trapping. And for those with a knack for finding things, he suggests honing your scavenging skills. In conclusion, financial preparedness for uncertain times is about more than just stockpiling supplies. It's about taking control of your financial future, reducing debt, saving for the future, and investing in self-sufficiency. It's about acquiring skills and building relationships that will help you thrive, no matter what challenges come your way. Thank you for joining me on this journey. I hope this episode has inspired you to take the first steps toward financial preparedness. Don't forget to check out Jim Cobb's book for more detailed strategies and practical advice. And as always, stay curious, stay prepared, and keep learning. Until next time, this is Bright Learn, signing off.
Visit brightlearn.ai for more fascinating videos like this one and naturalnews.com for full editorial coverage and breaking news on critical stories that keep you informed and aware of what's really going on.
All right, we're about to jump into the interview today with John Perez. Just a couple other commentary notes here. I want you to watch what's happening with the financial markets today. Of course, I'm recording this hours before the markets open. But I'm very concerned that the markets are not going to reflect the global reality. See, Trump is still operating from, I think, an obsolete point of view, thinking that America rules the world, runs the world, that America can dictate policy all over the world, that America can bomb anybody at once, bomb them into compliance, or sanction them into compliance. And Trump is using these tariffs actually as a sanction weapon. And I believe that even though Trump, I don't know, he lots of different opinions on Trump. Maybe you think he's acting out of a desire to help America. I don't know. I think he's acting out of a desire to bankrupt America so that he can refinance the debt at a cheaper rate after everything's collapsed, and then all his wealthy friends can engage in the great taking. I think the great taking is already underway, frankly, but that's just my opinion. Some people have a very different opinion. That's fine. None of us know for sure. There's a lot of unpredictable variables right now, but it's very clear to me that Trump's views on the world and the United States' role in the world are obsolete. He's living in the 1980s or the 1990s, maybe, Gulf War time. He thinks the U.S. has the dominant currency, the dominant military, the dominant weapons, dominant everything, technology, and he's wrong on all those counts. Everybody's dumping the dollar. Everybody's decoupling from America. Many nations have far more advanced weapons technology, including Russia and China, and in some cases, even Iran. Heck, even Yemen has held the entire United States Navy at bay. The Navy can't even stop Yemen. How are they going to stop Iran? How are they going to stop Russia? You realize that to defeat Iran, to destroy Iran, the U.S. would have to drop like hundreds of nuclear weapons on Iran. And you know what the response would be? Probably that would be the mass nuking of the United States of America by Iran's allies, I would imagine. So that's hopefully never going to happen. It's a silly attempt, if Trump even attempts that. It's crazy. And Iran is already pointing out that, hey, if you want to negotiate with us, you want to say we shouldn't have nuclear weapons, Iran is pointing at Israel. Israel should denuclearize. You know, Israel should give up its nuclear weapons if you want us to agree to not develop nuclear weapons. But the U.S. can't acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons because the United States gave the weapons to Israel illegally in violation of its own, you know, non-proliferation treaties and laws. That's why the U.S. can't acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons from the U.S., because Israel has committed genocide, ethnic cleansing, human rights violations, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of civilians, and that would prohibit the United States from giving Israel any kind of weapons under U.S. law, by the way. Did you know that? Especially nuclear weapons. So that's why nobody can acknowledge that. It's a giant cover-up, but everybody knows that Israel has nuclear weapons. So Iran is saying Israel should give them up. Well, Trump thought Iran was going to cave. Trump thought China was going to cave. Trump thought Russia was going to cave. And he's wrong on all three. You know who's actually going to cave is Israel. Israel's on its last legs. So is the U.S. economy. So is the dollar. So is U.S. trade. So is the U.S. Navy. So is U.S. technology. So is U.S. industry. So is Western Europe's industry, etc. What's collapsing in our world today is not China and Russia and Iran. What's collapsing are Western nations. The United States, the UK, Germany, you know, etc. Canada. The economic collapse is hitting the West. All the other nations, they see that the USA is this Titanic of economics that's sinking, and these other nations are cutting the ropes. Like, you're not going to drag us down to the depths of the Atlantic. We're cutting the ropes. We'll trade with each other. Let the U.S. sink on its own. That's what the other countries are doing, okay? So this is only going to accelerate this year. You're going to see food prices skyrocket. You're going to see violent crime increase. You're going to see mass impoverishment. You're going to see people lose their homes, lose their jobs. Desperation is going to kick in. And what we're all going to find out is that the American people are going to have to learn to live without consuming as much. That'll be a shocker for a lot of people. You won't be able to just buy as much stuff. You won't be able to buy all the food that you can eat. I guess that's going to solve perhaps some of our obesity problem in America. People just won't even be able to afford, you know, corn syrup solids anymore. They're going to be so broke. They're going to be trying to figure out, where do I get a meal? That's coming. And it's going to be widespread. For those who don't have gold and silver, they'll be in the food lines. They'll be on the streets, homeless. They'll be at the soup kitchens begging for a meal. You know, they'll be at the FEMA camps begging for shelter because they kept their savings in dollars and the dollars collapse. You're going to see that all across this country. And a lot of people are going to say, we didn't know. Nobody told us. Well, I mean, we're trying to tell them, aren't we? We're trying to tell as many people as possible, but most people don't want to listen, do they? Most people don't want to listen. They would rather just believe whatever the news tells them. Oh, gold is an ancient relic. Dollars are great, you know. You know, I guess dollars are your friend till the end. And then they're not. And then they're nothing. So, you know, it's funny because my long-term prediction has been that the United States of America, as we know it, will end in 2025. I've had that prediction for, what, 7 years now, something like that? I forgot how far back that goes. Many years. And now we see it. We see how it's going to happen. It's an engineered economic collapse. It's controlled demolition. That's what Trump is doing to the U.S. economy. Controlled demolition. And just like on 9/11, they brought down Building 7 to do what? Oh, cover up all the evidence of all the crimes of the CIA, money laundering and drug laundering and human trafficking. That was all in Building 7. And they needed an excuse to go to war with the Middle East in order to appease the Zionists in Israel. And they needed an excuse to have the Surveillance Patriot Act pushed and heightened in America. So hey, 9/11 accomplished everything that the criminal cabal government wanted to achieve. And they're probably going to pull another 9/11 style attack sometime soon, even under the Trump administration, in order to justify the great taking and to blame somebody else for the banking collapse and the mass poverty and the dollars going to zero. Yeah, they'll have an attack. You know, they'll nuke a city if they have to, and then blame Iran and then use that to attack Iran or blame Russia. Come on. This is how it works. This is the system. They're going to plunder America. And they're going to leave the American people impoverished and enslaved. You notice Kristi Noem is pushing the real ID thing again. Like, you're going to have this biometric ID to board an airplane. This is all happening under Trump. You're going to have the great taking, massive impoverishment, the rise of the surveillance state. You're going to have CBDCs as part of the UBIs, you know, and people are going to be absolutely impoverished and left homeless. And we'll probably end up in a war or two, maybe a war with Iran and another war with China. And the American people are going to be just devastated in all of this. That's what's coming. It has already begun. So Trump, the tariff sheriff, that's my satire song, kind of poking fun at Trump's outmoded viewpoints on how the world works. He's got no clue how it works. No, I mean, just, I'm sorry. Trump's brilliant at real estate, clueless at international economics. Absolutely clueless. And he's breaking the system. And you can't put it back together again. So, hey, buy gold and silver or prepare to lose everything is... That's my message today. And prepare for serious collapse. You know, let me plug the Satellite Phone Store sponsor here too, because the Satellite Phone Store gives you backup communications that you can use during an emergency collapse event. You know, satellite phones, but also they have a deal with Starlink now. You can find out about their Starlink satellite bandwidth packages at starlink123.com. Or go to the Satellite Phone Store's main site, SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com. And also, tomorrow I think I'm going to run another a mad science experiment video where we have, this is so cool, we've tested the ability of whether chlorine dioxide can destroy glyphosate. We've tested it, and we have the answers, and we'll play that video for you. I think we're going to do that tomorrow. So got some good stuff coming up. Until then, support us at healthrangerstore.com. If you want clean foods, clean supplements, superfoods, long-term storable foods, preparedness items that are laboratory-tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and much more, we test aflatoxins, we test microbiology, etc. Shop with us, healthrangerstore.com. And the good news is we don't buy much of anything from China other than goji berries, because they're from Tibet, which is in China. But we went China free on nearly everything many, many years ago. So we're not going to be impacted by the China tariffs or the U.S. tariffs on China. So our pricing should be very stable compared to a lot of other people. But we're being hit by inflation across the board. You know, a lot of our vendors, whether they're from Japan or Korea or Europe or Mexico or wherever, their prices are going up. So yes, all prices are going to rise, even at our store. So the prices you see today are the best they're ever going to be in dollars. But you're not going to see our prices double overnight because of China. That's the good news. It might take a year for them to double, you know, based on how much money Trump prints, right? I wish we could just take gold as payment, and that would be stable. And, you know, Aaron Day is working on, it's a gold-backed privacy crypto project with Zano and Gold Vaults. I forgot the name. He's got a name for it, but I forgot. I'll check in with him and see what the status is on that. That might be something that would be really cool to accept, like privacy crypto that is a representation for physical gold in vaults. Like I could do that. That sounds awesome. Let's keep track of that and see where it goes. In the meantime, here's my interview with John Perez. Enjoy. Stay alert. Stay informed. Watch out for things to happen today. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. It's that time of the year again to grow your own food because, of course, there's nothing healthier and more nutritious than your own homegrown food. And we have partnered again with the Arc Seed Kit Company. And we carry their product line, which is just an extraordinary product line of heirloom, non-GMO, non-hybrid seeds that have very high germination rates. We've got them on our website right now, healthrangerstore.com/seeds. And you can get the all-in-one seed kit here, which has about 50,000 seeds. I think it's 70 different varieties. You can get the backyard seed kit, which is a smaller version of that. Or you can get 5 kits for the price of 4 and share with your neighbors, friends, or church, or community members with this Prepper Special, which they put together just for us. So ARC, A-R-K, stands for Agricultural Resource Kit. And if you can show a shot on my desk here, it shows you some of the seeds that are in the kit. And this comes in a 4-inch PVC, so it's rodent-proof, and it's sealed from oxygenation. And we're talking about high-protein varieties, as you can see there, and it's not just a bunch of lettuce seeds, okay? We're talking about beans and corn. Some of the beans have a couple hundred seeds in there per pack. The packs are well filled. Again, it's not just a bunch of lettuce seeds. This is actually food that you can live on. High protein varieties for different growing zones. There's a guide that's included with it. Different growing zones with instructions and a lot of know-how that goes into this. And even the seed selection itself, it takes years of experience to know the right combination that just helps a family survive and grow food relatively easily and efficiently. So that's what the ARC Seed Kit is all about. So again, check it out at healthrangerstore.com/seeds. And then also show on my desk here, show what it looks like. Yeah, you see there's the 4-inch tube that it comes in. That's for the all-in-one seed kit. Very rugged, durable. And then the backyard seed kit is in the gold pouch there that's more affordable and has a subset of those seeds. There's also the seed growing guide there that is available separately. But thank you for supporting us and for supporting the ARC Seed Kit Company and also for supporting yourself in terms of your own self-reliance and your homesteading dreams, which can be coming true with more heirloom seeds. Remember, you can save the seeds generation after generation. So they're not GMO, they're not hybrid. This is heirloom seeds for seed saving and even for storing as a future form of possible barter, like currency. Seeds can be currency. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com/seeds. Thank you for supporting us.
All right, welcome friends. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. On a Friday afternoon, we are joined by one of our great friends in the metal space, and it's been too long since we've had him on, and it's great to have him back. It's John Perez, Silver is Money Man. Welcome back, John Perez. Hey, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm on top of the world. I mean, the market is perfect. It's doing backflips everywhere. Everything's great. We've got a colossal group of people, over 400 people strong. There's money pouring in. It couldn't be better. It's dreamland right now.
So just to give our audience a background, you know, gold especially has been skyrocketing, but silver as well. And this is even as many, many other assets are just cratering, you know, because of all the chaos that's been thrown into the mix. But I'm checking the markets right now. Looks like gold earlier today hit 3240. And what did silver hit? John?
Silver has been sitting still really since October when we hit 3488. We're sitting at 32, 33, low 32s right now. But you know, this is gonna adjust here very quickly because I've never seen gold run this long this far without taking silver long. So the spring is wound up. At silver's like a slingshot where it's pulled back, but they have yet to let it go, and it's obvious that it's being managed. But nevertheless, you know, our mining stocks have just been absolutely soaring, more than gold, which is exactly what we expected here. So it's gold around the world. I mean, the system's cratering, the treasuries market is collapsing, the bond markets are in trouble. And this whole tariff piece, I let my people know, hey, back in October, November, I said the tariff plan was really cover for basically pushing gold and silver higher. And in my opinion, I believe Trump's going to reset a new 40-year treasury in July and reset gold when they take the live feed into Fort Knox with Elon. So this, to me, the tariff is a big story, but I think beneath the story, underneath it, I think this is cover for resetting the dollar, because people are dumping the dollar and everyone's leaving the dollar. Well, it's my theory and belief that Trump is going to follow the Russian plan of letting the ruble drop. When it got sanctioned, it dropped and dropped and dropped. And then Putin came in and put gold by the gram under the ruble, and it bounced straight up. And I believe Trump's going to do the same exact thing. And that's why he's demanding lower rates. And he's even filed a bill to fire Jay Powell and to take over the Federal Reserve himself.
Wow. Okay. So much to talk about here. But from what you just said, the theory is that Trump is trying to drive down the dollar right now, which apparently is working, so that he can then, you know, more cheaply back it with the gold reserves. This also explains all of the gold that was being flown back to New York out of London, you know, earlier this year, you know, the first 3 months. But John, I've been wanting to talk to you for a while here, because on Monday when the market tanked and I saw silver drop below 30, man, I called my guy and like, how much silver can I buy? You know? And like, I bought it just under 30 spot, man. And I felt like I got the deal of the century, and I just loaded up. And, you know, the next day, boom, it starts skyrocketing. So here we are. And everybody else was panicked and freaking out. Oh my God, sell everything. I'm like, no, this is the buy time.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? You know, I would consider looking at platinum. A lot of people don't know this, but the price of platinum is at the same place as it was in 2020. So platinum has not moved in 5 years, and platinum is five times more rare than gold. And the majority of platinum comes out of South Africa and Russia. And it's just a matter of time before they let platinum go, because back in 2006, when I was a silver trader at Monex, platinum was trading at $1,800 per ounce. Right now it's $950, and it was double the price of gold. And you ask guys like David Morgan, he'll tell you platinum is 5 to 10 times more rare than gold. So I think there's really there's something to be said about platinum. In fact, I've been out picking up platinum this week. I said, look at the price. It's the same price as it was in 2020. How magical is it that platinum has not been hit by inflation? I think it's because it's Russia. Russia, the last thing the United States wants to do is help Russia in oil and or precious metals and mining assets here. So I have a feeling that platinum is going to make a move, and there's a platinum to gold ratio. You can see that there's a trade there. So right now, silver, of course, number one, but right now platinum is right there and worth researching and taking a look at the history of it.
Yeah, this is truly fascinating. Okay, so here's a big question. So silver being both a monetary metal and an industrial metal, of course. The reason it was selling off, you know, Monday, is because people thought that because of the tariffs, there would be much lower demand for silver for manufacturing all of the goods, you know, that are affected by the tariffs, right? But then Trump turned around and dropped all the tariffs on everybody except China, which means, you know, for 90 days anyway, or at least dropped them back to the 10% level, which is manageable. So that affects, you know, Taiwan is clear now, Korea, Vietnam, all these electronics manufacturing components that use silver in all their products, solar panels, you name it. So all that's free and clear. So John, why isn't silver spiking even more now? That's my question.
Well, I'll tell you, I personally believe that if you look at the price of gold to silver, we've been trading for 3 days in a row at 100-to-1 ratio, but it's almost fixed because I noticed there's a pattern. It's been fixed. I do believe this is a government operation. I do believe it's the Trump administration are grabbing silver and grabbing gold. I mean, personally, I believe we're going to go to a bimetallic system here. And it's such a fixed rate. It makes no sense to, you know, to the average person walking by. But I do believe there's an operation going on and they're accumulating silver as much as they can before they really let it go. Because, I mean, we're literally trading at a 40% discount to 1980 highs. So, I mean, this makes no sense. But this goes back to what Trump said. He tweeted out in January 2017, which we just had a 7-year delta in January. He said silver has been money throughout all of history. And he said silver is the most undervalued asset on the planet. He said that. And you and I look at silver, the price, and it's like, this is undervalued. It's like, it is the most undervalued asset on the planet. I do believe Trump was signaling to everyone that you need to look at the most undervalued asset, which is silver. You look at silver right now, and it's absolutely just been left behind by gold. And I don't think it's an accident. I think it's by design. And I think the people accumulating silver right now are going to be heavily rewarded, because silver, when silver moves, it moves violently to the upside. And I think we're going to get a $3 move here pretty soon. And then also, we have the problem at the LBMA and COMEX, which, as you know, is a big giant derivative house using that fake paper to suppress the price down. It's a matter of time before that lets go and the prices run. But it's also, I believe, going to trigger what I'd call Rule 589, which is going to basically circuit breakers that allow silver to move up $15 a day for 10 days straight. This is called Rule 589. A lot of people thought it had to do with XRP. It has to do with silver. You can go to the COMEX website and type in Rule 589. So 10 days, $15 a day, the circuit breakers go off at $15. And if you look at the short position, I mean, it's just ridiculously overdone with paper. I don't think it's going to be, if we talk about the conspiracy side, the deep state and Trump, if Trump's trying to collapse the old system of repression, suppression, and shorting, then he has to blow up the banking system, not by himself walking over there and hitting the button, but by letting the tariff system unfold and unwind until the derivative debt is too expensive to borrow to hold back silver. So I see the tariffs as the cover story that collapses the economy to where banks that are shorting silver, they run into a problem holding onto it because they're derivatives. And also, the new secretary of the SEC secretary is coming in. He's working against shorting, and we have the DJT, Donald J. Trump RICO lawsuit going here. So there's a couple lawsuits going on against Citadel and Virtue Financial. Both those companies are shorting DJT stock, as well as shorting in the silver department. So there's a lot of legal wrangling going on under the radar. Nobody sees it here. We're all ready for it. I can already see some stocks are being let go. They've been shorted for 3 years. I've been holding on to them. Suddenly they're taking off here. So there's something going on here, and it's not something we're going to read on websites or YouTube. You really have to be a deep diving guy to get in there. And we're all in for this. I mean, we are all in on this, and it's working. It looks to me, I told my crew this morning and yesterday, I said, look, you guys, I'm seeing activity in these stocks moving up so aggressively. Something is going on. They're letting go because the shorting is decreasing on certain stocks we have, and we have stocks moving. Now, you can add to that, Goldman Sachs on Tuesday gave the highest conviction buy for gold with a high price of $3,520. Followed the next day by JP Morgan. JP Morgan on Wednesday is now promoting mining stocks. And today, front cover CNBC, Newmont, one of the most active movers in the pre-market today, popped up 7%. So it's, in my opinion, this thing, we're off to the races, Mike. We're going to blow up even faster too. So, you know, I'm over here. I have been waking up since 2 a.m, working 2 18-hour days, just going through the news. I said, it's happening, you guys. Everybody get in. It's going to go. I've been through this before. This is my second rodeo. I went through this in 07, 08, 09, and I've seen it. But this is 100 times more powerful than the last market.
That's why I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me, John. And it's been too long. Before we continue, tell people how they can follow your work.
I have a new website. I'm at realjohnfperez.com, realjohnfperez.com. Got all my sites on there. I'm on TikTok, realjohnfperez.com. I'm on Instagram, realjohnfperez.com. I'm on Rumble, realjohnfperez.com. And I just did a really good interview with Seth Holhouse at Man in America.
Yes.
And gosh, we had almost 200,000 views on that. It was a colossal interview. I recommend that everyone should watch that interview. In fact, Mike, you got to watch that interview. I really unloaded there a lot. And my group said that was their best interview you've ever done. And it sums up what I see happening right now. And it's happening. I look at the interview and I thought, wow, it's doing exactly what I said it would do. And you know me, mm-hmm. I'm out of the box in my thinking here. So I'm on Telegram. Our paid private group is a private group. It's a paid group. I broadcast all day long on Telegram at Silver is Money. We have a public channel at Silver is Money. You can get in contact. People can join our group. It's over 400 strong. And everybody's happy. I mean, we got money is pouring in and it's beautiful. We prepared for 3 years for this. Couldn't be happier. This is exactly why we're in this business. We know gold's going up. We know silver's going up. But when these markets move like gold, the mining and silver stocks, they have leverage. You get 5, 7, 10, 15x more than silver. So if gold goes up 10%, I'm expecting, 5x, 10x more in the mining assets. And that's what's happening. It's already happening. We have stocks that are absolutely soaring right now. And it's dreamland for us. It's my whole career. It's been 18 years in this business. And this is absolute dreamland because the way to make money in this business, you got to be in first. You got to be in the game before it starts. You can't wait for it to move. You got to be in. You got to speculate. And it's very difficult if you don't have experience. And that's where I come in. I pretty much coach everyone and monitor in our little stock club. And everyone is on fire. Everyone is happy, which is really rare.
It's important also, I think, for people to understand that this is not over. I mean, the peak. I mean, the things are just getting started. Like, I'm still astonished that silver hasn't moved closer to $50 an ounce, frankly.
Yeah, I think it's going to move aggressively. I think it's going to move violently. It's going to catch everyone off guard. And it's going to cause a panic into silver. And this happened last time. I mean, I was during the last run, I think it was 2010, I was doing a mining transaction in Arizona. We were shipping like 2 tons of silver ore on a trailer. And I'm watching the market that I was trading and I was overseeing this project. And when I got to Arizona, I was in Prescott, Arizona, silver was at $28, $29 an ounce when I got there. We were basically selling a couple tons of ore for some bars that needed to be poured, dory bars. By Thursday, within a two-week period I was there, silver jumped from 28 all the way to 34, then 36, 38. Well, you know what happened? The deal we signed suddenly was no good because it was based on the prices that were 2 weeks earlier, but silver had moved so fast, we had to renegotiate that contract every 3 days it got crazy because then silver went to 38 and then 39, 40. And we're just looking at each other like, what do we do here? I mean, this was insane. So I think we're going to get that kind of move. And ideally, in a perfect world, the COMEX finally gets liquidated, goes force majeure, rule 589 kicks in. We get the big aggressive move. And then those that listen to Trump saying, most undervalued asset in the world will suddenly have the number one best asset in the world. And by the way, gold and silver this year are actually the number one and two assets for the year. Gold number one, I believe silver's number two. So, I mean, what's the Kentucky Derby? We got the winning horse in second place right now.
Wait, you said you think COMEX may default on its silver obligations?
Yeah, I do believe they're going to, and it's gonna have to do with shorting the markets here. And it's going to have to do with the bank stocks here because the Dow, I still believe the Dow, I think, can go all the way down to 20,000, 15,000. I think we still have a long way to go down. And once these banks start getting all the foreclosures, the commercial real estate loans here, they're going to have problems here. And this is what happened last time during the last crash. We were watching the market crash and crash. And gold and silver were doing nothing. Silver was moving. And I thought, when is this going to decouple? And then, boom, we had a day where gold moved over $100, just like it did yesterday and the last 2 days, $100 moves. And then, boom, it decoupled. And I posted a chart on my Twitter feed. It shows the S&P 500 versus gold. total decoupling. S&P is going straight down. Gold's going straight up. It is a technically perfect chart. It is irrefutable that we are in a new trend, a new move of sector rotation, leaving tech stocks, biotech stocks, and all the traditional areas, and they're moving into gold. And that's why we see gold money pouring in nonstop. And then even the large mining stocks, we have large mining stocks that are just soaring, but there's so much volume coming in. You can see there's billions and billions of dollars coming in. But this is the smart money. And they came in, I told my group, I read the JP Morgan press release. I said, you guys, by the end of this week, we're going to see money pouring in like a tidal wave. And sure enough, the next morning, boom, the stocks were opening up, gapping up 4%, 5%, 6% on Thursday. This morning again, boom, gapping up again. I said, you guys, it's on. Nobody sees it. We're the 1% of the 1%. I mean, I'm a specialist in this area here. So we were ready. And it's the public doesn't see it. Even the general precious metals public, and this is such a niche area, you really got to be in this full time, which I am. We see it. We're happy. And the money, I mean, a lot of people doubled down when it went down. We pulled back. Millions poured in, and people just dollar cost average. And bam, the stocks came right up, putting people right in the money instantly. And this is what's happening behind the scenes. Back to the silver thing, I do believe that there's going to be an issue at the COMEX, and it could be the government. There's a lot of silver coming in. I think the government come in and say, hey, you know, Elon live feed at Fort Knox, we're going to reset the price of gold. And by the way, if we do that, the United States used to be on a bimetallic system. And what people don't know is that on Liberation Day, which was April 4th of this year, that was the delta to the same day that they demonetized silver back in 1873. So that was a signal to the world. Liberation, silver was demonetized April 4th, 1873. Liberation Day, I told everyone, get ready, you guys, we're going to roll here. And sure enough, he launches the tariff war and gold just takes off. It's like, what about silver? I said, don't worry about it. Let them run the gold. That's going to be bringing the big boys. And then later on, I go, we got the COMEX still holding the paper down. I can tell it's an operation. This is absolutely it's a managed detonation is what it is. They are literally managing.
Controlled demolition. That's the term exactly. I use. Controlled demolition.
That is it. It is a controlled demolition. Yes.
So. You work with a lot of traders who are actually, you know, profiting from this. However, my audience and my message to my audience typically is simply about wealth preservation, just yes. Trying not to lose assets. So, and by the way, I don't own any stocks whatsoever. It's been that way for years. I stack metal. And yeah. I mean, that I've been doing that for years. I've been telling everybody to do that for years. And it has outperformed the stock market like every year, but especially now it's outperforming like crazy. Oh. But John, speak to the fact that, you know, look, even ETFs have counterparty risk. Stocks, obviously, counterparty risk, you know, not to mention derivatives and all that. But physical metal in your hand, it's the only asset that doesn't depend on somebody else keeping the word on their obligation. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. In fact, it's a requirement in order for anyone to join my club. They have to hold 1,000 ounces of physical silver. That's rule number one. You have yeah. to, that's, I tell people, this is your economic body armor. This is your life jacket. This is your insurance. You buy it, you bury it, forget about the price, and then we move on. Then from there, we take on different risk elements above that, but you have to have that asset there because that's your life jacket, your lifeboat.
I agree.
You know?
And it doesn't cost, I mean, what is that, like $70,000 or something like that?
Yeah, this way, it's really $1,000.
No, it's $30,000 plus. What am I saying?
You're paying 1979 prices for it.
Yeah. So it's only like it's less than 35K to have 1,000 ounces of silver, right?
Oh yeah. And I've moved probably 20, 30, 40 million dollars in physical silver in my career. And you know what? It's the best thing in the world. We started the club when silver was around $17, $18. And everyone is almost up 100% on their silver since $16, $17, $18 here. And some people bought the 1906 pre-65 coins. Other, you know, people just bought up. And now everyone's right now, you get a group of people, we're all in the money on our physical. Now it's time to make money in the stock market. And that's where we're mm-hmm. at. And people know, it's like, we feel it, John. We see it. You can see the money coming into your accounts. This 3 days in a row, I tell everyone, your accounts are going to gap up in the morning. You're going to wake up. It's going to be instant green. And every morning, 3 days in a row, I said, has that ever happened? He goes, we've never seen this before. I go, the money is on the way. I said, why? Goldman Sachs, highest conviction. JP Morgan, promoting mining stocks. I said, those are the two, the gods of banking finance. These people rule the world and they rule the United States. When they speak, everybody listens, everyone in the banking and finance world. And lo and behold, the numbers show it. The stocks are all on the move after those press releases came out. And it's incredible. I mean, like I said, I went through this last time and this was, I made a big deal about this and did long shows about the Goldman Sachs press release. I dissected it, went over every sentence, did the same thing with JP Morgan here. I said, we're all going up, we're all making money. And sure enough, the last 2 days, everybody's up. Everybody's up big, big time too. And they not only on their physical, their gold, you know, and their silver, but now the risk assets in the mining sector here. And that's, I see in the future when as gold and silver go higher, Basel III, when they finally implement their rules, they're going to require that banks have a certain amount of gold to back their loans as a tier one asset. Since gold is a high quality liquid asset, I'm going to make a prediction here that the mining stocks are going to become tier one assets equal to or not superior to mortgages, where housing is actually pulling back.
Well, that's a big prediction right there.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Wow.
We
are seeing, remember the subprime mortgage collapse with the CDOs, and of course, that's now happening in commercial real estate, you know, collateralized loan obligations, right? The CLOs are collapsing nationwide.
Yeah.
We're going to see bank bailouts. And
yeah.
The bank bailouts, the last time that happened, Silicon Valley Bank, what happened to silver premiums? They shot up to like $12 an ounce premium on top of spot. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. I think we've got, well, commercial real estate is in big. I mean, you see buildings are selling at 55, 65, 75, 85% discounts. With the largest mall in New York just went bankrupt 2 days ago.
Yeah, saw that.
Just, you know, so there's a colossal wipe out there. And then residential real estate is literally going off the cliff. I have a channel called Real Estate 911. I document this stuff. And people say, where are you getting this stuff? I go, I'm in the business here. But I don't see this anywhere. I said, you're not going to see it anywhere. I go, that's why I do this work here. It's specific to what we do. It is directly related to gold and silver, because it was last time when housing crashed and the MBS loans and Countrywide and everyone else went down. They finally took down the banks. And the banks, what did they do? Remember, they cut off everybody's equity and credit lines. And that wiped out real estate almost overnight, because they called in everyone's equity lines, because the value of the homes went down so low in the contracts, the loan to value, they don't finance 100% loans. And if your value of your house drops 20% and you got an equity loan on that thing for $100,000 and your house drops 20%, you're going to get a 20% margin call. That happened last time. Nobody talks about it. I was in the business. I watched it happen. It was a total wipeout almost overnight, because everyone that had an equity line, if they were making your bill payments or you had rental payments there, all of a sudden, no more credit line, or they cut off your balance and left you with a balance there. But you had to increase your margin, because let's say your house was, you know, estimated to be worth $500,000 when you got your loan, and the house drops 10%. Well, that's $50,000. And if you got your loan out at $500,000 value and all of a sudden it drives 10%, you look at the contracts in there in the details, there's a loan to value piece. So if the house drops under a certain point, you got to make a margin call. And if you're living off equity, credit, and rental space, you're in big trouble. That happened last time. I talked about this 2 years ago in another interview I did regarding housing, and that's coming. That's coming too. These are the things that people don't see, Mike, and no one talks about it afterwards here, but it's going to happen. I mean, eventually Washington Mutual, WaMu, was purchased and taken over by JP Morgan because they collapsed because they had all those bad loans. And that was a huge bank, Washington Mutual. And they went, their stock went to like Bear Stearns. They all had something that was mortgage and derivative related.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
So we got a lot of dominoes. We got a lot of dominoes coming.
Okay, so housing, but also I would imagine, you know, retailers are in real trouble too. And the one thing, you know, the one area where the tariffs are not resolved is, of course, with China. Now, you know, I have a lot of sources in Taiwan and people in Asia and sources of business owners in Asia. I'm being told by everybody, 100%, that there's no way China backs down. China does not back down on this. Trump's going to either just drag us through this for years, or Trump's going to have to blink. In the meantime, because I don't know what Trump's going to do, but in the meantime, U.S. retailers are screwed if they depend on a lot of stuff from China, right? So how's that going to factor into this whole picture?
Well, I agree with you 100% regarding China is not backing down. And in fact, yesterday I was reading that they're the ones dumping all their treasuries and they're going to be converting to gold, which I think that's a future story that'll be reported. I don't see China backing down. And there's something else that's even bigger than all this too, Mike. Remember when we sanctioned Russia, Russia took over all the Starbucks. There are 5,000 McDonald's in China. If this gets nasty, they've already sanctioned. I don't believe American companies in China cannot wire money out of the country right now. And if this goes next level, which it looks like it is, and it can be, we've got Nike, New Balance, all these American manufacturers out there. In Russia, they seized all the Starbucks. There's 5,000 McDonald's out there. This can collapse a lot of really big blue chip stocks if they seize assets. So how far is Trump going to push them? You know, that's a big, big deal. And I think that we have a colossal structural collapse in markets here. If Trump pushes China to maximum, when he just went to 145% tariffs, I mean, if he goes to 200 and it really starts to cost China here, they can inflict some pain by selling more treasuries, but also basically seizing monies in China from, I mean, trillions in businesses that are operating in China. I mean, this
And also remember that China's exports to the USA only account for 15% of China's exports. So it's not like the USA has a sledgehammer over China's head here. You know, China can endure this. The question is, can Trump endure it when the American people find shortages across the supply chain, including in food products? There's a lot of food products that come out of China, supplements and so on. You know, John, I'm in the supplements industry, but 10 years ago, we went China free on everything except goji berries. Right. So we don't even have China in our supply chain for the most part. So we're not impacted, but a lot of people will be, like GNC stores, right? Like probably 80% of their stuff comes out of China, I would guess.
And then,
yeah, that's where people get like all the vitamin C in the world, except for ours, it seems, comes out of China. So anyway, this Trump's going to take a lot of heat from people because they're going to end up having to pay more. You know, price inflation at retail is going to be high. And as far as I can tell, John, I think this is just going to drive more and more people to sell the dollar and buy gold and silver.
Yes.
Because they're going to see the writing on the wall.
Yes. Yes. And one more thing. This morning, Trump put in a bill and to write up to delist all Chinese companies. Now, everyone should go to the Chinese stock market and count how many of the largest companies in the world are publicly traded that trade in China. But they're listed here, but they trade in China. And if China shuts them down, that stock market will be there'll be trillions and trillions lost overnight. So if Trump delists Chinese companies here and China retaliates by doing the same thing, which seems to be what they're doing, they're playing ping pong, we could see, they can just sit there and say all monies that are belong to American companies are going to be held seized until Trump releases Chinese companies to be traded in America. This is a multi-trillion dollar time bomb that Wall Street will not be ready for. No one's going to see it. And it has to do with how far will Trump push them. If he delists these Chinese companies, then that opens up the door for China to retaliate and say, well, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take your publicly traded companies and we're going to shut them down. You're not going to work until further notice. Shut them. You know what the stock market will do, don't you? Imagine if McDonald's gets shut down? The market cap there. I mean, people are holding, these stocks are in gigantic index funds, pension funds, mom and pop retirement funds, and that stock goes down. I just want to know one thing. Did Warren Buffett sell his McDonald's stock? I'm going to find out who has recently sold big chunks of McDonald's stock. That would probably be a signal there.
Right. At the same time, you know, China can wreak havoc, not only with the rare earth minerals export restrictions and not only selling off treasuries, but China can wreak havoc by threatening Taiwan and threatening the microchip industry. And on top of that, you know that China has a lot of influence with a lot of other countries. So China can just move factories to Vietnam and just export out of Vietnam. So, you know, this happens all the time in Asia, right? So Taiwan has set up a lot of factories in China over the past 25 years. Well, Taiwan's going to bring a lot of those factories back to Taiwan and just make it in Taiwan, set those up. But it's still going to be, a lot of it's going to be Chinese raw materials that are shipped to Taiwan. You know what I mean? Like China, you can't really just blockade a whole country like that.
Oh, no, I think people underestimate the strength of the Chinese economy. And then also, I mean, if Z rolls over, he's not going to, because this is, you know, this gets down to a pride and identity issue with China as a country, that, you know, Trump comes in there and just, you know, blows them over like a paper tiger. So, and as you said, the amount of exports coming out there, it's not going to prohibit them. In fact, I think a move against publicly traded companies in America, I mean, in China, operating in China, you know, like all the shoe manufacturers, and I mean, there's so much being manufactured over there. And I think that is probably, if that goes, Trump will have to deal with the American blowback here. Well, I mean, you see people 401ks and retirements, like McDonald's just got, you know, was shut down or seized, or all of a sudden Z just said, hey, we're going to shut you guys down. You're only going to work, you know, 3 days out of the week, you know, not five. We're not going to shut you down completely, but you're, I mean, that would send shockwaves around Wall Street. But I got to throw this in here. In Trump's first term, do you remember when Trump publicly told all the companies in China, bring your manufacturing home, we'll repatriate you, we'll give you tax breaks? And what did they say? They said, screw you, we're staying here in China. So Trump, he's got the get out of jail card. We made him an offer. They could have came home and repatriated. They chose to stay in China. And here we are. Yeah. You know, so that to me was down the road. If they come against Trump, say, hey, look, I asked these guys to come home and bring manufacturing and jobs home. And now if China delists these companies or puts them out of business to where they're out of business for a certain period of time, then manufacturing here at home, Wall Street is going to say, well, he did give you the option to come home with tax breaks. Now you did it the hard way. And that, Trump operates on that level. He says things, Trump, and he doesn't forget. He holds grudges. He tells you, you know, the eye for an eye. That's Trump. He's an eye for an eye guy here. And he's going to say, look, you know, we gave you guys the option to come home and you could have gave you tax breaks, but you waited. And this, and what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring jobs back to America, manufacturing. He offered them to come home, but they chose not to. And now here we are in a tariff war and they had a fair choice to come here. I honestly think that is going to be come out and it's going to play out in the news down the road. If it goes to that point, we see stocks go down, what's going to happen? Trump wants a weak dollar. He wants that dollar as low as it can possibly go, the rates as low as possible. So what? If he gets it down to, say, 1% or 2%, he can refinance all the debt. Everyone can refinance their houses, you know, and we can refinance the debt. If the Dow Jones goes down to 20,000 points, he can reset the price of gold in Fort Knox at a Dow 1-to-1 there, let gold run, back the 40-year treasury in July with Judy Shelton, back the 40-year treasury with gold after it crashes down. And then all of a sudden, just basically follow the same Russian model there. And it's very complex, but this is what I gave in my interview with Seth this weekend on that. And it was complex, but I try to keep it in plain English here. Trump did offer everyone the chance to bring their marketing factories home. bring home jobs, and they chose not to go there. Remember Mexico, Maytag? Well, if you open up in Mexico, 100% tariff, and they said no. He's not going to hold back. I think Trump has got there with the Billy Club. I think he meant business when he said that.
But let me counter this by saying that, you know, as an employer myself and running manufacturing in Texas and monitoring all this, I think it's a myth that you can set up a factory in America and that there are all these skilled, ready, healthy workers just waiting to jump into 9-to-5 factory jobs. Like, that doesn't exist in America. I can assure you that doesn't exist. And the typical American doesn't think they should have to work. They're like, I'm a consumer. Just give me a UBI and let me buy shit. But I don't make shit. You know, no, the illegals make this stuff, but the illegals are being increasingly deported, which means, like, who's going to run the factories? And the only answer I can come up with, which is going to take a couple years, is robots. Because, look, I mean, I'm in my mid-50s. The only people 50 years and older actually had, like, the hands-on job experience working in a factory, running machines, doing things with their hands, you know, for the most part. There are a few exceptions, but you know what I'm saying. But yes, Today's 20 and 30 year olds, they can't change a car tire, man. You can't bring them in and say, hey, let's run this factory. No, they're like, what? Where's I need my mobile phone, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there's a problem here. And I think, you know, just some of the rumors and some of the talk about Trump dropping all these welfare programs here, they're digging into a lot of things there. And I think we have too much of a safety net that almost gives people the right to stay home and just have kids and not work. You know, it's like, you're a single mom, get divorced, here's some money. It's like, you get another kid, we'll give you more money. You know, that system is there where it's not really a motivating factor, but I agree with you on the job side of things. There's no doubt there's going to be pain coming here in the future here. And I don't know how they're going to deal with it, but I believe I think the cost of living is going to come down. And Trump made another comment regarding real estate. Trump said in a speech that he was going to bring the price of housing down so a single employed income could afford the price of a house. I thought, well, you can't do that unless you got a 60% downstroke on the price of housing.
Yeah, yeah, you got to crash real estate.
There was another article yesterday about how the Chinese can crash the housing market. Well, the Chinese hold, I think, $1.8 trillion in mortgage-backed securities that are American-based.
Yeah.
And they can dump them. And, well, if they dump them, I mean, that would be great PR for Trump. And Trump's going to go back and forth. I think he's going to make a deal, no deal. I think at the end of the day, Trump is going to make a deal, but there's going to be damage control no matter what. But there's got to be a deal here, because if it goes, you know, FUBAR, then we can see American companies seized or shut down in China, and that would just trash the S&P 500 and the Dow, because so many large multinationals are trading on the markets. They also manufacture there in China.
Yeah, well, I think it is going to go somewhat FUBAR. Maybe
good.
Maybe FUBAR divided by two. I don't know, but my. Yeah. I'll end it with this, because I want to be respectful of your time, John, and thank you. But I think whatever happens, Trump is going to print currency like crazy, no matter what, whether it's UBI, bailing out the banks, bailing out the pension funds, bailing out, you know, the subprime mortgage collapse 2.0, whatever, the Big Short. He's going to print like mad, and that means the best way to preserve assets is gold and silver, period.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. I mean, listen, people out there, go get silver. Go get physical silver. Bring it home, buy it, and bury it and forget it. It's going to blow up. The price is going to go up 100%. Silver and gold, that's your life jacket. That's, you know, your economic body armor against printing, against the man, against the Fed, because they have a license to print. And of course, if it's national security, they're just going to be printing, you know, and pouring 55-gallon drums of green ink into a machine every hour until they get what they need to get done. They won't hesitate on that.
That's right.
Bit.
They'll print trillions. Yeah.
gold and silver skyrocket, dollar will go down, and then guess what? They're going to jack the rates down. And Trump knows, he knows. Well, look at oil. Oil has gone down. We're under $60 a barrel. So at the pump, gasoline's cheaper. Well, that's a side benefit for transportation and stocks and shipping companies. Yeah. But we haven't, you know, that happened in the last crash too. We went straight up and then we pulled all the way down. There's one more thing. There are two aircraft carrier task groups on their way towards Iran.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We got so much going on, Mike. I've been doing this for a long time. And I mean, I tell my people, I cannot keep up with all the fundamental reasons that are going to launch silver and gold to the moon. There's too many rock. It's like we have a 10-stage rocket ship, you know, with silver at the tip, and there's a million reasons for it to go higher and higher. And you look, in fact, it just came out today. The energy secretary said, we are looking at military action against Iranian foreign energy assets. And I know what they're going to be looking at. Just remember this name, Karg Island there in Iran. That is where I think the action is going to be, because that's an oil terminal where they fill foreign tankers at. And they were very specific about looking at Iranian foreign shipments of energy. And Karg Island was the place they hit last time in the 80s. I think they're going to do it again.
Well, it's just like the U.S. Navy blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline that serves Western Europe and then saying, hey, all you suckers, buy our natural gas, you know, from America. Good luck.
Did you know that one of Trump's biggest donors is now trying to buy the Nord Stream 2?
At a discount, I would assume.
Yeah. So, Hideo, this is there's so much going on. Of course, they just landed some B-52s and B-2s over at Diego Garcia. So that's, I mean, they're ready to go to town. There's some stuff that's going to happen, and you got the Taiwan issue. Is I think we have yet to see that. I think keeping an eye on the direction of carrier groups here is going to be a big ticket item here. But we'll see. Trump is I can see Trump pushing it to the limit and saying deal, no deal. Because another thing, this week they had one of the biggest destructions in shorts in history when we had that big run up. Everyone was shorting the market, and Trump said, hey, we got a deal. Stock market went up. And then he goes, oh, they're going to retaliate. Then the stock market goes down. I mean, he is whipsawing shorts and the longs. And Trump is not a stock guy. He's not a Wall Street guy. He's a real estate and leverage guy. He is a debt leverage guy, and he's looking out. You know, he has a choice. Is he going to please Wall Street or is he going to please Main Street? I mean, Wall Street's never going to be pleased with him except certain players, but he knows that Main Street is expecting him to get the job done here. So I think in a lot of ways, we have to look at Wall Street and Main Street. Hey, if Main Street has silver and gold, I mean, you could almost say, hey, why is silver staying down so low? It's like, well, Trump did say it was the world's, you know, most undervalued asset. There's nothing stopping someone of his caliber and his presence to basically put an order in that, of course, none of us would ever see, to keep the price of silver down, to let more and more people accumulate that. That's a wild theory of mine, but I do believe that's in the cards too. There's too much upside in silver for Trump not to say anything. In fact, there's one thing for sure. You will never hear Trump ever say the word silver. He won't say it. You go back and look. He will not say the word silver. He'll say gold, but he won't say silver. And I know why he won't say silver, because there's too much national security demand for it, jewelry demand, industrial demand, monetary demand. And the minute he said silver, it will explode. In fact, Trump could destroy the COMEX and the LBMA. All he has to do is say, hey, look, everyone should consider taking a look at silver. The price is so cheap. You know, here it is sitting at 1979 prices. What did he say the other day? He said it's a good time to buy the stock market, and the stock market soared. How I wish he would have said it's a good time to buy silver.
Well, maybe we could get him to say sliver. there's a sliver of a chance that something good might. Is like, did he say silver? No, he said sliver. He's dyslexic. Okay, well, John. This is an awesome update. Thank you so much for taking the time. And, you know, hey, keep in touch. And we'd love to hear your analysis down the road. In the meantime, everybody should check out your website, realjohnfperez.com. That's it, right?
Thank you very much. That's it. Yes.
All right.
There you go. I'm very active on Instagram. and TikTok, very active there also. And my Twitter feed is at Comstock Royalty. I'm on there also. You can got a lot of videos coming out and stuff. So a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay.
Bye.